Chell Anderson is a North Shore naturalist. She lives here in Cook County and joins us periodically to talk about phenology or what's going on in the woods right now. Welcome back, Chell.
Hi.
Lake herring spawn this time of year, I understand, but what do we really know about lake herring? Are they the same as pickled herring, for example?
Well, they're definitely not in the same state as pickled herring. But as it turns out, this herring, lake herring, the name thing, is one of those really interesting cultural things as well as a biological thing. Because with the way we name things, we actually tell stories about bigger things in culture, right? So in the case of Lake Superior lake herring, it tells the story of the people, where the people came from who settled here, Europeans who settled here. And so the fish that's known here as lake herring was thought by those who came and settled here to look a lot like the herring they were accustomed to back in Scandinavia. In the ocean, yes. And even in inland, there are herring in inland lakes there too. But they are not the same fish. But they looked, you know, they looked similar, so they called them lake herring, and that name has stuck. But in truth, they are not the herring of pickled herring, which is related, which is a fish in a family with other fish like alewives. And the lake herring here, that fish, is actually related to the other salmonids, so the trout and the whitefish. And so these are fresh cold water fishes. And that's who the lake herring are related to here. So they're actually a part of their official common name has actually not that long ago been changed to Cisco, because they are very closely related to the other Ciscos, which is another fish that people who, you know, even buy fish to eat here would be familiar with. So they are closely related to those. But the lake herring name is going to stick, right? Because that's part of the culture here. And I think it's a fun thing in that our names reflect some of our history.
Well, maybe you can or can't answer this. Looking back at my understanding of this, the fishing industry, particularly in Scandinavia and, mm-hmm. and Ireland and mm-hmm. places like this, I mean, they were referred to as shoals of mm-hmm. herring because mm-hmm. there were
huge
immense
numbers.
Yes. Yeah. When those people came and settled here, mm-hmm. were they finding that to be the case?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And is it still the case?
Well, that's definitely another part of the lake herring story. When people came here, found these fish, they were in very large numbers, particularly at the time of spawning. So lake herring are a pelagic fish, which means that they move around in the lake. They don't stick to, you know, the near shore water or whatever there, or shallow bays or something. They're out there swimming around in the lake in groups. But so in that situation, for a lot of the year, they're very hard to find and fish for, because they're not gathering in huge, huge numbers. But when they spawn, which is late November into December, so it's getting to be that time of year for them to spawn, they do tend to group up in bigger numbers in particular spawning areas. And so a lot of the fishing, in terms of the biggest harvest of the fish, both in the past and now in the present that they're being fished again, happen during the spawning period. And very large numbers were taken. Millions and millions of pounds were harvested in the past. I don't know the number in terms of the harvest now, but it's not that big. But it's become, again, a significant fishery for us, including fishermen right here in our own communities. And that fish product goes all over the world as eggs, as roe, and as gefilte fish.
Gefilte fish are lake herring.
Yes. Well, they can be. Yeah. They can be made into that product. And that's there's a huge market for that in other parts of the world. And most of, as I understand it, most of the fall harvested herring here in Lake Superior goes to markets in other parts of the
world. Well, you can't go into a Jewish delicatessen without gefilte fish.
That's right. Yeah. And the roe is very popular in other parts of the world.
And we have that industry here, too.
And we have that here. So, you know, these connections, you know, really span the globe at this point. So herring have, in terms of the history overall of herring, they were very common, very important forage fish. So important species of lake trout as a prey species and other larger salmonid. So very important prey fish and forage species in the lake. Feed mostly themselves on the lower level of the food chain, zooplankton, small crustaceans, all these critters that we've talked about at other times that are migrated up and down in the water column and provide the really basis for life in the lake. As herring were fished initially in the newly settled Great Lakes, eventually their numbers completely crashed. It seems like there's pretty much general agreement that the main reason for that was overfishing. They were just exploited to the point where they couldn't maintain their populations, particularly since the harvest was focused at times when they were spawning. So the big crash, an additional problem was the introduction of smelt into the lake, which were a competitor for the same foods that lake herring are using. So removing fishing from the equation, starting in about 1960, and giving quite a long space of time for the populations to recover, and then kind of the mysterious decline of smelt. Maybe the herring really could outcompete the smelt if they had sufficient numbers. Long story short, the herring have made an excellent comeback, and of course we're doing commercial fishing of herring again on Lake Superior, and the smelt have declined, and so the future looks good for herring, and they're hopefully starting up with their spawning here pretty soon, and we'll have a good year for in terms of the production of new fish. The adults congregate in the spawning areas, and when the temperature gets down around 40 degrees, then they're going to congregate, and they spread, they just in a very generalized way spread the eggs and the sperm, and the fertilized eggs fall to the bottom, and they spend the whole winter on the bottom of the lake. And then the fry will emerge in April or May.
Well, let's hope that recovery continues.
Yeah, it's a really good story, isn't it?
Jill Anderson, botanist and plant ecologist, thanks for helping us understand lake herring.
Sure.